So we built the wall, for the people had a mind to work. Welcome back to The House, Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. I'm Bob. This is podcast number 78. It's February 26, 2015. If my words seem a little forced today, it's because I've been out in Chicago's snow. It's still snowing, and we're doing a little shoveling, and I haven't quite thawed out yet, but I wanted to get this out to you. Well, there's much talk today about the work of the Holy Spirit. George Mueller was no stranger to the true work of the Holy Spirit 170 years ago. It's not quite the same flavor as what we're hearing today. You be the judge as to whether God was moving even back then. We're going to read the rest of chapter 24, go on into the last chapter, and then we'll finish everything up, Lord willing, tomorrow. Well, it's May 26, 1856. Yesterday evening, it was 24 years since I came to labor in Bristol. In looking back on the Lord's goodness to my family and myself, the Scriptural Knowledge Institution, the saints among whom I seek to serve Him, I exclaim, what has God wrought? I marvel at His kindness, and yet I do not. If I remain longer on earth, I would expect even more manifestations of His love. The Lord continues to allow us to see fruit in connection with the orphan work. He's working in the hearts and lives of those who are now under our care. We often hear that those who were formerly under our care have become Christians and are living for the Lord. The kindness and grace of God is drawing many children to Him at the orphan house. November 12, 1857. The long-looked-for and long-prayed-for day has now arrived, and the desire of my heart was granted to me. I opened the house for 400 more orphans today. How precious this was to me after praying every day for 7 years. This blessing did not come unexpectedly to me, but had been looked for and had been expected in the full assurance of faith in God's own time. November 20. The boiler at the new orphan house, number one, leaked considerably. We thought that it would last through the winter, although we suspected it was nearly worn out. For me to do nothing and say I will trust in God would be careless presumption, not faith in God. The condition of the boiler could not be known without taking down the brickwork surrounding it. When was that to be done? For the children, especially the younger infants, I was deeply concerned that they would suffer for lack of warmth. But how were we to obtain heat? The installation of a new boiler would probably take many weeks. Repairing the boiler was a questionable matter because of the size of the leak. Nothing could be decided until the brick chamber was at least partially removed, and that would take days. What was to be done in the meantime to find warm rooms for 300 children? At last, I decided to open the brick chamber and see the extent of the damage. The day was set when the workmen were to come, and all the necessary arrangements were made. The heat, of course, had to be shut off while the repairs were going on. After the day was set for the repairs, a bleak north wind set in, bringing the first really cold weather of the winter. The repairs could not be put off, so I asked the Lord for two things: that He would change the north wind into a south wind, and that He would give to the workmen a desire to work. I remember how much Nehemiah accomplished in 52 days while building the walls of Jerusalem because the people had a mind to work, Nehemiah 4:6. The memorable day came. The evening before, the bleak north wind still blew. But on Wednesday, the south wind blew exactly as I had prayed. The weather was so mild that no heat was needed. The brickwork was removed, the leak was soon found, and the repairmen set to work. About 8:30 in the evening, when I was going to leave for my home, I was informed that the manager of the repair firm had arrived to see how the work was going on. I went to the cellar to see him and the men. The manager said, The men will work late this evening and come very early again tomorrow. We would rather, sir, said the foreman, work all night. Then I remembered the second part of my prayer, that God would give the men a mind to work. By the next morning, the repair of the boiler was accomplished. Within 30 hours, the brickwork was up again, and fire was in the boiler. All the time, the south wind blew so mildly that there was not the least need for any heat. Isn't it just like the Lord? Now, that was me putting that in there, but I'm sure George Mueller said the same thing. Isn't it just like the Lord? Chapter 25, the final chapter of the autobiography of George Mueller, The Spirit's Work Among Us. February 2, 1858, I took the first steps toward building the third house. A lady in London, a complete stranger to me, ordered her bankers to send £300 for the support of the orphans. I was also informed that in 2 weeks, £800 will be paid to me for the work of the Lord. The £300 was sent the next day, and the £800 arrived 2 weeks later. As the work grows, the Lord keeps pace with the expenses, helping when help is really needed, often even giving beforehand. From 1857 to 1858, 24 schools were supported or assisted out of the funds of the institution. Nearly 4,000 Bibles and portions of Scripture were distributed, and over £3,500 were expended for the aid of 82 missionaries. I was later told that the money often came when the missionaries did not have a shilling left. More than 1 million tracts and books were also distributed. Letters received from the people who distributed them show that they were greatly used in awakening and converting souls. During the past 22 years, the Spirit of God has been working among the orphans, and many of them have come to know the Lord. But we never had so great a work take place as during the past year. On May 26, 1857, Carolyn Bailey, one of the orphans, died. The death of this beloved girl, who had known the Lord for several months, was used by God to answer our daily prayers for the conversion of the orphans. All at once, more than 50 of the girls began to ask questions about heaven, hell, and eternity. Young people often get concerned about the things of God, but these impressions pass away before long. I've seen this myself, having dealt with many thousands of children and teenagers during the last 30 years. If this spiritual awakening among the orphans had begun within the last few days, or even weeks, I would not have mentioned it. But more than a year has elapsed, and in addition to those 10 who were previously believers, 23 more girls have accepted Jesus as their Savior. In addition to this, some of the other girls in the new orphan house, number 2, and some of the boys also are interested in the things of God. Our labors have already begun to be blessed to the hearts of some of the newly admitted orphans. February 17, 1858. As far as I am able to judge, I now have all the financial means I require for the third house also. I'm able to accomplish the full enlargement of the orphan work to 1,000 orphans. October 29. In the last report, I stated that I was looking for land for the third house. I waited daily on God, and He's exercised my faith and patience. More than once, when I seemed to have obtained my desire, I again appeared further from it than ever. Being fully assured that the Lord's time had not yet come, I continued to pray and to exercise faith. I knew He would finally help. Last month, I obtained 11.5 acres of land with a house that is close to the new orphan houses and only separated from them by the road. The price for house and land was more money than I wanted to spend on the site, but it was important that the third house be near the other two to facilitate the superintendence and direction. The longer I go on in this service, the more I find that prayer and faith can overcome every difficulty. Now that I have the land, I want to make the best use of it and build for 400 orphans instead of for 300 as I had previously planned. After several meetings with the architects, I learned that it was possible to accommodate, with comparatively little more expense, 450 orphans. I finally decided on that number. This means that I will eventually have 1,150 orphans under my care. Well, tomorrow we will do 1859 and following, which is just a couple of more pages. We'll talk about a conclusion to the book, and then a little bit about where things went after this autobiography was finished. Thank you for tuning in to listen to these things every day. I know your faith is encouraged, as is mine. This is indeed a work of the Spirit. This is verifiable. This is unquestionable. Unlike, I must add, the questionable things going on. And that's kind of a lead-in to some of the things that I'll be talking about here fairly soon as my research continues on that man that I've been talking about. But tomorrow, Brother Mueller's autobiography will conclude. And don't forget, we're thinking about talking about Oswald Smith, another book of Jonathan Goforth, Charles Spurgeon, and more. And don't forget the persecuted church, too. Lord willing, after tomorrow, we will touch on the persecuted church and see where things stand with that. Remember Nehemiah 4:6 that we began with today. So we built the wall because the people had a mind to work. That'll preach in your situation today, won't it? God bless you.